Good evening, everybody. It is
Thanks. Zoom meeting.
5 p.m.
On mute. Currently on mute.
on Saturday, April 15th.
Yep.
So I hope everybody have their has their taxes in
Tax day.
they have till Monday.
Oh,
And wow, we got a nice group here. I was a little concerned because I was getting people writing this morning. I can't make it today, so.
Oh,
Fortunately,
dear.
we've got a quorum.
We're
We're
here.
good. Thank you all for being here. Hope everybody was able to be involved in the convention. I think most of you were. I think most of you were in person, which was great. And so welcome aboard. And I think we can go ahead and get started. So the first order of business is, hello, Andy.
That's the first order of business.
Nope. The first order of business is to ask if
Oh.
there are any additions to the agenda.
Just the one that Margie wanted added.
Right, just the one about the brochure.
Brochure, yeah.
Okay. All right. Hello, Bob. Bob, is Ruth Ann with you? Oh, guess you're still muted.
Bob muted.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello, Trisha.
Oh.
Oh, Bob.
You.
Okay. All right. So does any do we have any other additions to this evening's agenda? Hearing none, I accept the motion to accept the agenda.
I so
So
move.
move.
So I heard Mart, who'd I heard it? I heard, who did I hear here?
Larry
Larry
and
and who?
Christy.
Christy,
Christy.
okay.
Second.
All right, all in favor of adopting our meeting agenda, say aye.
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 Okay, all opposed, say no. We have our agenda, and so we will now move on to the approval of the January 21st business meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So move to approve.
I second it.
David.
So David Mendel
Yeah.
and
And it's
Nellie
like
Emerson.
Nellie Emerson, yeah. Hey.
Is there any discussion, corrections? Thanks again, Larry. You always do a great job.
Thank you.
All right. All in favor of adopt of accepting the minutes as presented, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Abstentions. The minutes have been approved. And then now we move on to our treasurer's report, which was submitted by our treasurer, who can't be here. They're here this evening. And it looked good to me, but is there a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
So
So
moved.
I believe, was that Nellie and Larry?
No, it was
Yeah.
Vivian.
Vivian and okay.
Yeah.
You
And
can have it,
actually,
Vivian.
okay,
Vivian and Larry. Okay.
doesn't
Yeah,
matter.
all right. Any discussion, questions, comments? Hearing none.
My comment is 41 members. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
And again, thanks to the
Woo!
hard work of the membership committee who beat those
Yeah.
bushes. Yep.
That's
What
right.
portion is that of the national organization?
Pardon? I
said,
It's
what
probably
is that of the national organization?
it's at least 20%.
Yeah.
It's, it might even be
My, a little
30%, but
more.
at least, yeah, at least 20%.
Boy.
Yeah, I think it's about
Good.
20, 20, 20. It's not 20 quite. It's less than 25, but more than 20. So
Well,
we're doing
that's
our part.
good.
We're doing our
Good.
part.
I'm
Yeah,
marching
we can
on.
always take new members.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. We're
old members here.
Regina's here, right?
Aging members.
All right. All in favor of approving the treasurer's report, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Abstentions. Our treasurer's report is approved.
Can you tell me what our assets are and how much income we have had in the recent Treasurer's report?
Let's see. I don't have it in front of me, but it's somewhere around $2,000 or so in our bank account. And I think we took in a little bit less than we spent, but we had plenty of money to do that. Basically, we had our dues, and then on the expense side, we had, of course, the dues to CCB, mm-hmm. and we had
delegates.
ACBL and ABL and CCB, and also the convention.
Square.
The square fees, yeah.
Square fees, yeah.
But our expenses were about $560, so we had over $3,000. Now we're in the $2,000, and let's pray that we hurry up and get our status approved again, so we can start fundraising.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. And do keep in mind too that we had gotten most of our dues before the first of the year, so it looks like we paid out more in dues, but actually, you know, we'd actually collected most of that in the previous quarter, so we're good. All right, let's see who just came in. I heard somebody
Regina
came in
before
after
that,
Connie Bateman.
Connie. Yeah.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
And Regina before that.
All right. Okay. All right. So I'm moving on to President's report, and again, I want to thank everybody who participated in the CCB convention. We were there in force, even in person. I want to thank everybody who attended our pre-convention session on nursing homes. It was a very good discussion.
Great.
As well as our previous sessions this quarter on senior law and also the emergency preparedness one that we did. So we've had some excellent programs this quarter, and again, thanks to everybody who's been working on committees, and for anyone who brought in friends into the organization this past year, especially our support group, which brought in two members. You know, so we're getting it done, and we'll be saying more about that in committee reports. I'm looking forward to another really good year. I hope that we continue to grow. I think that the most important thing, not only for us this year, but I think for every chapter and affiliate in CCB, I think our highest priority this year should be reaching out to people, either past members who have been doing other things, or folks that we know in the community who've never really connected with us. You know, now that we're kind of in the tail end of the COVID and we're able to get out and about and be around people again, I think that, you know, although we came through, I think, really well, thanks to Zoom, I think there's no substitute for getting together in person and connecting in that way. So I would just encourage myself and everyone here, you know, connect with people, reconnect with people, get them more involved with our community. I think that's the biggest thing that we can do for our community right now. Oh, who just came in? I heard somebody just come in.
It's a Zoom user.
Yes, it's Donna Sanchez. Sorry.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, Donna. Sorry. All right.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for coming. All right. And that is my president's report for now. And now we will move on to elections. And I owe a huge deposit. I flaked out. I owe a huge apology. I flaked out and I forgot or neglected or whatever. Did not get a nominating committee nominated, which is bad. And I apologize.
Well, Libby's supposed to be the chair, so maybe not reaching out to the nominating committee.
Well, that was my bad. My bad.
Yeah.
But so we have, we are going to have elections. And again, anybody can run. Anybody, everybody is eligible for every office. We have no people facing term limits. So, and it is perfectly fine to nominate yourself.
So our positions that are open are president, secretary, and the board position that is currently held by Vivian Younger. So Larry Gassman, if I impose on you just to conduct the president portion of the election, are you comfortable doing that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, I will turn the gavel over to Larry, and we will proceed.
And this is Regina saying hello. Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Hello, Regina.
Hi, Regina. So since we don't have, I'm asking this to make sure I understand. So since we don't have an actual accredited slate done by the nominating committee, everybody's up for election. And that means that if somebody wants to nominate, for instance, an incumbent, they can do that.
Yes, that is correct.
We'll do president first. Nominations are open for president. Do we have anyone seeking the presidency?
Mr. Chairman,
I would nominate Frank Welty for president. Can I do that and still do this?
Yes. Oh, Roger did. Roger did.
Okay, then we'll give it to Roger. That's fine.
Yeah.
So we have a nomination. Did you say Frank Welty, Roger?
Yeah.
I did.
You did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
My old buddy.
One more time.
And we need a second.
I second.
Regina.
No, we got to do a nomination.
Oh, pardon me. You're right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Pardon me. You're right. Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? We'll do it one more time.
One more time.
Are there any other nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chairman, I move the nomination cease and that Frank be elected by acclamation.
Second.
Very good. Frank is elected by acclamation.
Yay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Do you have to do that when you do by acclimation?
Yes.
Still?
Yes. Yeah.
Still, yeah.
You don't. You could say, "Does anyone object?"
Say that.
Yeah, I've seen it done both ways. That's why
you can ask if anyone objects, and that's still fine because then it's unanimous if no one objects,
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Frank is.
All right, does anybody object? Does anybody dare to object? All right. Congratulations, Frank.
Yay.
Thank you. And I will hand
this back to Frank for the remainder of the elections.
And Larry, thank you. You were very professional about that. Thank you. All right. So I'll just make one comment, and that is that, as you all know, I have a very full plate, but I will do my utmost to work my responsibilities so that things get done in a timely fashion. And I'm very appreciative of the strong board we have that has been such a huge support these last 2 years. All right. So now we have the Office of Secretary. And as you all know, the incumbent is Larry Gassman. The floor is open for nominations.
Mr. President, Bob Acosta, I nominate Larry Gassman.
The name of Larry Gassman has been placed in nomination. Are there any other nominations? And are there any other nominations? Last call for nominations. All right, I will accept the motion to close nominations and elect Larry Gassman by acclamation.
So moved.
Moved in seconds. All right. Yes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Abstentions?
Congratulations, Larry.
Larry, you're stuck for another 2 years.
Whether or not you wanted this.
So much.
That's right.
And no, if he didn't want it, he would have said.
That's true. I would have said no. I don't want to do this anymore.
That's right.
All right, and we've got a great secretary.
All right, and
now we move on to our director position, the one that's currently held by Vivian Younger. And do we have... Oh, the floor is open for nominations.
Nikki, I'd like to nominate Vivian Younger.
The name of Vivian Younger has been placed in nomination. Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Last call for nomination. All right.
I move that we nominations be closed and that we elect Vivian Younger by acclamation.
I second it, Regina.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All right. All in favor of closing nominations and electing Vivian Younger to the board by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. And abstentions. And congratulations, Vivian. Would you like to say a word or two?
All I'm going to say is that my dog is clapping.
Oh. Yay! Yeah, that's great.
No, seriously. Yeah, I look forward to another couple of years, and I really hope that we'll be able to venture outside of our affiliate and gather some people that don't even know about us yet. So that's where I'd like to focus some of my energy. That's it.
Thank you. And again, I want to apologize again for not doing my due diligence working with the nominating committee. That was not appropriate. And I apologize. It won't happen twice. All right. And hello, Livy. Welcome aboard. All right. And now we move on to committee reports. And sadly, our advocacy and legislation committee chair could not be here because of an urgent family emergency, as in he had the urgent responsibility of attending the Kings Warriors game tonight.
Yes, that's right. Wow. It starts at 5:40.
Very curious. Yeah.
He could have made the first hour and a half or half hour be his phone in the car.
Nikki has a question, Mr. President.
Yes, Nikki.
There's a phone number here ending in 057. Would you like to rename that person when we find out who it is?
Okay, say that phone. That
they must have come
510-057 are the last three numbers.
Okay.
That's Maureen.
That's Maureen Schultz.
Okay, great. Okay. There you welcome, go. Maureen.
Yep. Okay. So the advocacy committee is working hard on the issue of getting a bill to provide some funding to get training for nursing home staff to understand the needs of blind residents. And currently, the committee has talked to a legislator's office, and they're not prepared to take that bill up yet because they want us to go to the Department of Healthcare Services first. And I just got the word from Jeff that we have, I think that was Regina who has made an appointment to talk to them.
Yay.
And we'll see. And thank you, Regina, for that. And so we're going to see what we can do with that and if they can get some movement there. And our understanding is that if we don't get any support from that department, that the legislator will entertain, you know, working with us to go that route. So
yeah,
we're working both angles, and we'll see how it goes.
I'm going to
give the floor to Regina, and then I'll take Roger's question.
But yeah, that meeting is set up for May 1st, and there was such a quick response when I finally got. It's on Teams, which I'm not very familiar with and is not super accessible. And I got some tips from one of our chapter members, and I was finally able to type in the edit box of the question. I still can't unmute myself in Teams.
Control Shift M.
I tried that. It didn't work.
I'll give you a tip. The Teams app is much better.
Yes, I tried it on my phone and I was having issues. I had to uninstall. It's a long story. But I think I may have solved it on the phone.
Okay.
And so, but I was on my computer. I managed to type in the chat. They gave me an email. And once I got that email, I stopped going in circles. They contacted me that same day. So I'm hopeful that means they might be interested in what we're saying. Hopeful.
Yeah. So we'll be thinking those good thoughts on May 1st. Excellent. Thank you so much, Regina. This is huge. And then
After Roger, I wanted to say something to David. After Roger. Roger had a question. And
I'll just also add that I think you guys have probably already heard that we weren't able to get our mental health bill reintroduced this year, because I think the goal was to see if they could get something in the budget. And so we'll see. We'll keep working on that one. So that's the information I have about our advocacy at this time. Okay,
What's the AB 388?
The
488, and that's the skilled nursing facility amendment.
Yes.
What we're trying to do is amend the law to include us in their equity and inclusion incentive programs. I'm trying to make it as concise as possible. Right. That's what we're asking.
Thank you.
Okay. So we do have a bill then. Is that right?
There is a bill, but it's just on pause, as they say.
Right. Got it. So they're sort of waiting to see if the Department of Health Services will work with us, and in which case we wouldn't necessarily need that bill at this time, but we'll see.
Right, right.
Okay, Roger, and then David. So yeah. Roger?
Okay, I wanted to ask about the definition of the facilities that we're talking about here. The reason is that I have been talking with our good friend Dawn Wilcox since she left the area and went up to Washington State, and she's living in a facility. And she says it's not a nursing home, but it needs the same. She has the same problems there. It's one of those. I guess it's an assisted living home. It's got
correct.
They have different categories of people: independent and assisted, and so forth.
Yeah.
This does not cover assisted living situations.
Well, assisted living facilities are not licensed, so correct. I don't know if they can get it through. Like that, because
we have to start where we can start, and we're starting with the skilled nursing facilities because we have a hook. The hook is incentive money. That's not available to assisted living facilities, and I think that will be our next hurdle. And we're not ignoring that, but once we get the skilled nursing facilities. And we start to see we prove that we're not being served. It's a violation of ADA. And so going into the assisted living, we would have to think of how to do it. We have to have some kind of hook or incentive or way to make people comply. I hate to say that, but that is the way it is. And as much as
a lawsuit.
You know, right.
Dawn says that she hopes when she falls down, she'll be out on a public sidewalk because the nurses won't touch her because she's an independent.
Right. That's right. That's the tactic they're all taking.
That's right.
Yeah. And David.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the California Alliance for Retired Americans is in our corner, and they're very sorry that neither bill is really an actuality yet, because they were willing to make them priority bills. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm doing my best to try to look for outside support.
Yeah, I want to get involved. I want to know more about that organization, David. So
yeah, that's another issue, and I want to, when we get the programs, I will make a suggestion. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right.
Thanks.
Excellent. Okay, and that is all I have for advocacy. And again, thanks to our advocacy committee. We're doing good stuff. All right. And membership, who had a great quarter. So, Christy.
So, we had a drawing on January 31st. We had our membership drive. And on January 31st, we had our drawing, and our renewing member who won the $50. Sorry, was it $25? Was it 50?
I think it was 25.
It was 25.
Was Margie Donovan, and our new member who won the $25 was Maureen Schultz.
Yay!
Hopefully you got them.
Yes.
And we've been working on submitting letters, submitting articles to the Blind Californian. We've submitted three articles in the last three Blind Californians. And Frank is going to be submitting our official article. Deadline for the Blind Californian is May 15th for anyone who wants to write articles. I know that I'm going to be writing an extra article, and I believe Frank is too. And the more we talk about our issues and our concerns, and hopefully other people will share our Blind Californian with others so that we can have a wider outreach. Our next meeting is going to be on May 9th at 6:30 p.m. and anyone can join. And I'd like to thank my members. Frank has been with us all the way as ex officio and doing a lot of work. We have Nikki, Nicolette Noyes, Nellie Emerson, and Margie Donovan. And the other thing is that we're really trying to work with the PR committee to get brochures created so that we can hand them out. And especially Margie's going to be speaking on Tuesday in Placer County. And so when you guys do outreach like that, if you're talking to any organizations, let us know. Let us get resources and brochures and things to you so that you can spread us CAAVL widely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. And
did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I think you got it covered.
Well, the two things we are trying to work on getting done are the Google
a
voicemail and the CAAVL email address.
Yeah, we need those contacts for the brochure.
Yeah, and that's at the very top of my list. I'm going to talk to Vita about it because she's done that before.
Excellent.
And so I'm going to try to get that done really quick so we can get that moving.
Thank you.
All right. And do we have anything from our peer-to-peer support committee at this time?
Peer support committee has been conducting the support group on Fridays at 10 o'clock weekly. I still need to call a meeting so that we can plan a peer support program that can be widely publicized and have some participation. So now that the convention is over, I will call that meeting within the next 2 weeks.
Excellent.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Thank you, Nellie. All right. And now we move on to program. And who can give us a program report? I think we lost Bob.
Had a meeting since the last time we did an actual report. And I think since Bob had to resign.
Yes.
Right now it's Frank as an officioso and me and Jeff. And we probably need one more person unless Bob is willing to consult or help out, but I don't think he's able to share based on issues. So we've not met and talked since we had our last program, which was in February. March.
March.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will work on getting another person for the committee and we'll work on getting a meeting and getting our next set of programs planned.
Mr. President, David.
Yes, David.
I just wanted to say that the executive director of the California Alliance for Retired Americans, Jody Reed, is very willing to give a presentation to CAAVL and would like to learn more about our organization. They talk a lot about seniors and people with disabilities, but what I found out that in their 20 years of existence, they really don't do enough regarding accessibility for people with disabilities, but they are very open to learn. And I would like to urge the program committee to consider inviting Jody to give a presentation. Now, I will say that the organization is a little bit to the left of the spectrum, but they are a nonpartisan organization. And I think it would be good to hear what she has to say. She also invites, they have over 300 affiliated organizations. Many of them are labor unions. And I know that some people are, you know, object to organized labor. So I understand that issue. But I do believe that we should consider working with all organizations, no matter where they are on the political spectrum, especially if they are dealing with seniors. And yes. I think we need to be fair and open and look at everyone, because we want them all to understand the problems of people with vision loss, and most of them don't. So I think that's what our goal is. So anyway, just a suggestion.
It's an excellent suggestion. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
So
all right.
Okay, great.
Regina.
Regina, hello. Yes, go ahead.
So when we do legislation, we go down the list of whatever committee. We call everybody.
Yes.
We look and see what their specialties are, like if they're really into health or really into transportation, and then try to work that into how we present to them. We don't concentrate on their political affiliation.
Right. No. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
And fortunately, at the end of the day, I think most legislators, else they may be doing, they've got something that they care about, that they want to make the world a better place. And I think it's to the extent where we connect with whatever it is they care about, then regardless of what their philosophy is, they want to be helpful.
Right.
Davey, would you send me the name of the person you were talking about a few minutes ago?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And, I will
and then I'll mention it to the program committee.
Name.
We'll see.
Yeah, she'll be very delighted. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Let's move on to publications and public relations.
Okay. So we need to kind of move our butts a little bit. And I want to start getting some articles together. And what we were thinking of is trying to get more people to write for the BC, but it wouldn't hurt to, if we can do a brief newsletter, maybe twice a year, that would be wonderful. So I really would love to get some articles from folks. And I know some of you have a lot to say regarding blind seniors and folks who are blind. So if you could contact me, if you have any ideas. And I think what I'm going to do is at our next meeting to be with Regina and, well, my faithful vice chair, Vivian Younger. I don't know what I'd do without her. And Larry and Regina, I think that we should maybe have a meeting where we invite folks from the membership and really talk about writing stories and, you know, doing something about preparing some kind of newsletter, getting some articles together.
Excellent idea.
Yeah. So why don't we do that? And I will get to you within the week and we can have a quick meeting and talk about inviting the membership and having an open meeting.
This is Nellie.
Yes.
Yes, Nellie.
I am wondering, has anybody ever approached AARP to write an article on their newsletter that they send out to the world? It would just be so wonderful if we could get in there.
Can we, what about the California branch of it? Can we do that? Yeah. I think that would be fantastic. Yeah. And in fact, we should invite them to do a presentation too.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do. You know, in the past, and Jeff has brought something up that I think is interesting. In the past, AARP hasn't always made their publications and information very accessible. And that is an issue that we should take up with them too.
Yeah, it's on an FB Newsline.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That I would don't be. Think we get them all.
No, we don't. Yeah, we still don't. But I mean, I think we should talk to them, especially the state branch. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And the other thing I want to talk about is the brochure, because I've been getting messages from Margie, several, basically yelling at me for not printing them out. And that was not my, you know, I was not, you know, if we had been authorized to do that, Frank, obviously I would have looked for some, but we weren't.
Yeah, this was so me. It was me. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I feel badly about it. And I just want to make sure that we get some brochures out.
Yeah, we'll work on that offline.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay. Good. Well, guys, we're like 20 minutes ahead of schedule, so we're doing great.
Wow. Gosh.
So we're going to
Jeff could have made this meeting.
It's
going to be a great group.
Is this Connie? Can you hear me?
Yes,
Connie.
Yes.
Okay, so I was having technical difficulties. I didn't catch the time for the peer-to-peer the peer committee.
Yeah, it hasn't been scheduled yet.
Yeah, this is Nellie. I will schedule it within the next 2 weeks, and it'll be an evening meeting in case anybody's working and they want to attend.
Oh, good. Okay.
Great. Very good.
And one more question.
Yes.
It's the program committee. What does that entail? What do people have to do if they belong to that committee?
The program committee is the main focus is on organizing program presentations, like the presentations that we did previously on nursing home issues, on emergency preparedness, and on senior law. So I think the main thing is organizing topics for programs that then we can put either, you know, that either in conjunction with the convention, or usually we've been able to have them done as part of as ACB community calls. So that's the main focus of the program committee. The program committee is kind of something where if it wants to, it can do other things as well. You know, as long as you can call it a program, right? But yeah, mainly it's putting together programs for the information for the community.
I'd be willing to help on that if you need one more person.
Okay, I've got you.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. All right. So now we move on to old business. Are there items of old business that you would like to take up and go over at this time?
Convention.
Yes, indeed. By the way, we just Nellie just sent out a was that Nellie? Yeah, you just sent out the convention report.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep.
And thank you, Nellie. I need to add some comments to it as well because I am the alternate delegate, so I will do that. Who would like to comment on the convention? It was mentioned, by the way.
I thought it was excellent.
Yes.
I would just like to say that it was absolutely wonderful to meet people in person.
Yes.
So excited to be together again. That was the highlight of the whole thing for me. Oh, and also, okay, this might not mean much to you, but it was my first convention without my sighted husband, Ron, who passed away.
That is an accomplishment.
Yes,
an accomplishment. That's a step forward.
Good for you.
As the song goes, I got by with a little help from my friends.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yeah,
we have a hand raised.
Is that
Maureen?
So look.
I had a question about your
Hello, Pat.
It was a convention a convention presentation. I can't find it anywhere, but it was a wonderful presentation, and it was about mental health. Did you put that on? It was about things to, you know, like eating and staying hydrated and recognizing anger and all that kind of thing. Were you the guys who put that one on?
I don't think that was us.
Does anybody know who did? Because I can't find it, and I wanted to share
it
with.
Do you know when it was done? You know when it was done, roughly?
No, that's the trouble. I know it was in an evening, but that's all I won't bother you. I'm sorry. I just thought maybe you had.
Well, yeah, we did one, but I don't think we talked about that necessarily. Uh-uh. But we'll look around, because there have been plenty on mental health that have been done.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Maybe I can work with you on that to find it.
It was one of the presenters. Okay. I know when it was. It was on a Monday.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Someone named Susan. I can't remember her last name. But
Susan Glass?
No. I wasn't a member. No. It was a speaker that came in, and she spoke at our luncheon session or afternoon session after the Kahlua lunch and everything.
Susan Demarest, Department of Aging. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
She was marvelous. So that was in the weekend. Yeah. We do have that. We talked about the
master plan on aging, Patty.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Link, Larry, do we have it up yet?
No. Steve Aminoff is editing those. So he has it. Because he does have them, but I don't know where he is on that timeline. I'll find out.
Okay, that would be great.
I know that's usually taking a little time.
Absolutely.
I got to part of that, but I didn't get to all of it. So I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I missed that once because I was spending a fair amount of time working the guide dog table on during the during the daytimes.
Frank, she described basically a number of the elements in the master plan on aging. That is a 10-year plan, and part of it is on mental health and all kinds of long-term support issues and dealing with anger and isolation and socialization and things like that.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
We were on the yellow brick road, Ed and I.
This is Nellie. I wanted to make a comment about that Yellow Brick Road exhibit.
Yes.
I think that was just an outstanding opportunity for us to really see, as it's set up, how that could be so beneficial if we came on a construction site that had both the audio and the tactile features. Right. That were shown there, and I was able to navigate that very easily with my dog, but I could also feel with my feet, so the tactile features, and be able to be guided very safely along the path.
I would have been hit by the bus because I didn't stop at the end. I also could go one way, but I couldn't go the other without somebody helping me.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they made note of that.
Yeah.
there was a problem because at the base of the ramp, there were two partitions missing. And so they had a guy down there to make sure that if you used your cane a little bit higher and came to an open space, you wouldn't try to walk into that space, which was a foot above the ground.
What?
You had to make a right-hand turn. Huh? You had to make a right-hand turn.
Yes.
What they told me was that you have to have an ADA-compliant barricade along with their device. Yeah.
Right,
if
exactly.
If you don't have that barricade, it won't be as helpful.
Right. Part of it was missing because they didn't deliver the whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Gee, that's real life construction.
Yeah.
But they did have a guy down there in the corner to make sure that nobody went over the edge. So.
Yeah.
Good. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, how's Gene doing?
Yeah. Anybody know how Gene is doing? Because we're all praying for him.
Steve?
Yep. Gene Lozano. Yeah.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
Last I heard, he was doing better.
Yeah, I think we heard that at the board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was.
But someone said he has an open heart operation coming up.
Yes.
Yes, he has to get his antibiotics.
But you're not supposed to tell him he got the award yet.
Don't.
Yes, you're not speaking. We're going to surprise him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, does he listen to our in-person chapter meeting to receive the award?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could you let us all know so that we could all be there in attendance at the chapter
we're
meeting?
We're hybrid. And it's going to I can send out the notice that we're just having the meeting. I won't say anything about the award. I'm just going to say.
Just say something like special meeting or so we know that that's the one.
Okay. Yeah,
this is great.
All right, we're having our county registrar, so I'll say voting. And you know,
there you go.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
By the way, when does your chapter meet?
We meet the third Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. For those of you in San Francisco
that meet at 11 or 11:30, I'll put it early enough in the agenda that we'll get you out of there by 11.
Because we meet.
Yep.
So okay. I'll get it at the first part of the agenda.
So it's May 20th.
May 20th.
Ooh, that's going to be a problem for us. I might have to cancel our speaker then, Frank.
We're at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No,
we're at
10. Yeah. We'll just make sure that we can check in between 10 and 10:30 and then go to our meeting. Yeah.
Because I don't want to miss Gene's award.
Right. And because of Gene's health, I want to put it at the beginning in case he needs to leave.
Yes. Right.
I think I can make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can make it work. Okay. All right. Well, is there any other old business to take care of before we move on to new business?
Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Roger.
This is kind of on the convention. I haven't figured out exactly a way to put it, but I found that as for a person who's have to take the Zoom convention, I found it difficult to access immediately access the information I needed at the time. It seemed like the information was kind of bits and pieces in different emails and so forth instead of being a whole one thing. I don't know what else to say about it except that.
I think what people failed to realize is the pre-convention was all on one Zoom link. And the convention was all on another. If you had those two Zoom links and knew which was which, you could get into either meeting.
Yeah.
So the emails were just reminders. They weren't different Zoom links. And so somehow we have to make that clear that you only needed two Zoom links.
Yes.
But somehow we didn't communicate that well. Everybody thought that email was a different link and it wasn't.
This is Donna Sanchez. I agree 100% with what Roger said because I had a terrible time trying to figure out what link I was supposed to be using.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's good feedback, and I'll be bringing that, you know, those of us on the convention committee here will bring it to them.
Good.
One thing that I think would be, it sounds more complicated, but if you had a pre-convention link, a convention link, and a post-convention link, three different links, or if you just said pre-convention, convention, post-convention, then you can dump the pre-convention link once that was done. They wouldn't receive the convention link until it was convention time. And then after the convention, you could dump that one. And then the post-convention link would come out.
Well, in Sarah's reminder, she only sent one link. But the problem is when people got the reminders, they thought it was a totally different.
Right. That's right. They thought it was totally different. There were so many. Yeah.
Too many.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
perhaps just in the reminder saying, use the same link, upcoming, blah, blah, blah. Here is the link in case you lost it. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one. So, is there going to be some kind of like a post-convention a review meeting or a survey or something?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Like an evaluation. Yeah, that would be great.
Yes.
Yeah. So, definitely, those of us who want to comment should be keeping an eye out for that, so we can give our input. All right. New business. Do we have items of new business?
Nikki?
Yes, Nikki.
Okay. Excuse me. You're talking about articles. I've been asked to write an article about Well Connected to put into the Blind Californian, because we have quite a few people with vision problems and blind as well as sighted. But I was wondering if we would want to put that in our own newsletter as well. I don't know. It's advertising another group, but it's a group that does similar to what ACB Community does. They have about 100 programs a week and goes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that's where I disappear too when I'm disappearing, because I'm facilitating programs over there all the time. So that's one thing. And so if you guys want the same article, I will make sure that you get it. And
Where are you writing it for, Nikki? You're writing it to
the Blind Californian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think I have to have it in by May 15th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're kind of trying to get people to write more about seniors and blind folks for the Blind Californian. But we're also thinking of doing our own newsletter. We haven't really made up our minds quite yet, and I want to get the consensus of our committee to see what people think. But I would like to get more articles, because I'm also on the State Publications Committee in the Blind Californian about various issues. And I think seniors are something that Bonnie Rennie was always on top of. Mm-hmm. And we'll never forget her.
Oh, yeah.
So we you know, that would be great to submit it, Nikki. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it's going into the Blind Californian, it's definitely for seniors 60 and over.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need to put it in our membership one. You guys can decide.
We haven't decided yet, Nikki. So we'll get back to you on that.
And Nikki, okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Can we put our information into, does Well Connected have a newsletter that we can put our information
That's
into?
A great thing. Yeah.
No, but I'm always talking about CCB and ACB and whatnot. But a lot of the people do not have access to computers, which is okay. But it's more difficult because they're so ingrained and well connected. But one of the things that we could do is to publicize our organizations more, is to have a speaker go and do a particular program, because we have different programs and people come and talk about stuff all the time. So maybe somebody from CCB, CAAVL could go and put on a program. It would be maybe an hour or maybe half an hour at some point. And, but we do, I'm not quite sure how we could do that, but I will certainly talk to those guys, because I've been working with them for about 20 years now. So there should be some way that we could maybe put in on one of the pages, the phone numbers and availability of, you know, how to get in touch with CCB. Or ACB, because they're all over the country, and they're in Alaska, they're in Hawaii, and some people are, you know, across the pond, so to speak. So I'll check on that and see what I can do.
What is that group? Well Connected.
Well, it used to be Senior Center Without Walls, and now it's called Well Connected. Uh-huh. And there are programs every day, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. about all kinds of things. And I'm taking a French class that I've been in for years, and I facilitate the French practice on a Tuesday, and I'm in the French class on Thursday. And then I facilitate other programs, and different people facilitate. It's a little easier than getting into ACB, because it's just a phone number and a 2-digit code. But anybody's welcome. It's all free. And they're just amazing. Their armchair travel programs, their music programs, their health and wellness programs, and Ask the Attorney is another program, and Writers Read, and all kinds of stuff. So
you can get
there's a lot going on. And when the ACD Community came in, it was wonderful, because they were doing a lot of the same kind of stuff. So so I'll talk to them and find out how we can put something in the next catalog that talks about us.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Excellent. Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm trying to get people involved all the time. So, okay. So the other thing I wanted to mention is this afternoon from 3 to 4, I was running a program, and we ended up, because I read a story about John Muir and an earthquake that happened in 1872 in Yosemite.
which was mm-hmm. fascinating. So we started talking about earthquakes, and we started talking about several, there's several blind people on that group. And we started talking about how people are dealt with in emergency situations. And we were trying to come up with solutions in terms of how to find out, for example, the fire department and the police department don't make lists of people like they used to. So, okay, so I have a friend in Windsor. She's in a wheelchair. When they had those horrible fires, one of her friends went and got her out and got another person out because the police and the fire department weren't there. So we're trying to figure out who can we call, who can we get in touch with so that these people who are isolated can have somebody go and check on them during an emergency. So I was wondering if we were to contact our membership and find out how many people we have who are isolated and would need that kind of help, that would be one of the things that we could do in our membership committee to investigate and find out and maybe make it possible by either checking with senior citizen centers or churches or whatever who are in the neighborhood who could send somebody to somebody's house to check on them in case of an emergency. I don't know whether you guys would like to do something like that in the membership committee, but we're definitely going to be doing something like that with Well Connected.
I would definitely recommend for people to call the fire department in their local city and see what kind of arrangements they have or don't have.
But see, I've done that in Windsor, and they don't
register.
Yeah, they don't have anything like that up there. And I've been told by a lot of people today that they just don't. They've called the police and they've called the fire department, and they just don't do that anymore. That was the answer. They don't do that anymore.
This is Linda.
Linda, go ahead.
One of the things that is available through the access centers through the state of California is called the Vial of Life. And
that's right.
What you do is it's a little tube, and you put your information in it and you put it on your refrigerator. Now, I know that in the past, stickers would be put on the windows, and then a bunch of people got upset because they said that it made them vulnerable. And so then they went to this other method of the Vial of Life and put that on the refrigerator. So if you contact the different state independent living centers in the state of California, they should have those programs where you can put that on your refrigerator. And also people who are really, really vulnerable should be wearing those medical ID bracelets as well.
Are you wearing one, Linda?
No, I'm not wearing one.
I'm not wearing one either. And during time of emergency, I would consider myself to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. I'll just add to that, for those of you who have iPhones, I would assume they have something comparable on other smartphones. If you look at the health app, you can do things to set up your, store your medical information and have it available so that emergency personnel can get access to it, like in an emergency. So again, you might want to check on that.
And you should also download the app for the emergency alerts so that you know. My daughter's a firefighter, so I'll ask her.
Hey, get her to speak.
Yeah, it would definitely be another. It wouldn't hurt us to do another emergency preparedness.
Oh, that would be great.
Program.
This type to cover what wasn't covered in the other one.
Right, just specific. You know, like what can you do, like what we can do to work, you know, to support, you know, in other words, to so that it's easier for emergency personnel to help us. Something
there
like
you
that.
Go.
Then I have a question. We have the Vial of Life on the refrigerator, but how do they know to go to that person's home? That's the point that I'm trying to make at this point. Mm-hmm. We need to have a way of notifying people that person needs help. And I think the Vial of Life on the refrigerator is excellent. Like my friend Kevalia has her whole
her whole thing set up, and it's in a folder attached to her refrigerator, but they have to get to her house first.
I think you're...
But these days you can have, and I don't know specifically what they are, but there are smartphone apps, and also, you know, because of the emergency response systems. I mean, if you were really vulnerable, that's probably the direction you would go, is to have an emergency response system and have them set up in such a way that either a trusted person or an organization, you know, could be contacted. The problem that we've often seen is that people will not, they do not feel comfortable for some reason wearing it.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of suggestions.
You don't want to know that you're vulnerable.
I have a couple more suggestions. So you can set your iPhone up for SOS.
Yes.
So let's say that you can't speak, you don't want to speak because someone's in your house. If you press it three times consecutively, then you will immediately get your local police department. I did it by accident. I was just having my phone on my hand. I didn't know it was
happening. Yeah, I've done that too.
Oh, this is, oh but, I'm but so you can. Sorry. I did not mean to get this. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. Also, whether you have a landline or any kind of phone that has any kind of battery life, even if it's sitting in your closet, you can get 911. Everybody can get 911. A lot of people don't know that. They think that they have to be, you know, connected.
Yeah, it's in your lower left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. Right. Alerts are very important to have on your phone. Mm-hmm. I know that you can be annoying, but they need to be there because your first defense is to call and say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wonder if the one on the smartphone, I don't think it's the local one that you get when you dial 911 on your smartphone.
That is true.
It may not be, but it goes to your local, the closest center.
Yeah, because they got
better. It's actually better in a way. So, but yeah, it's actually better. But you know what? Speaking of what we're trying to do, I think the one thing that we could do is it'd be a big campaign, but look at one part at a time. And that is to alert the churches, the this, the that, the that, so about some steps that we agree on or work on to be able, because they'll know who the, I'm going to just throw a number out there. They'll know at least half of the people who would need help. But sometimes people don't know what to do. Yeah. And they don't think about what they need to do.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, being in an earthquake and having every single person run out of a grocery store except you and the person that's with you, and you have to get through a baby food aisle. Well, what I teach is self-reliance. That's another, I think that's another program. I do it all the time, is how to teach self-reliance in case nobody is there.
Right.
Well,
a related thing to that is that I just had an issue today. I was trying to tell somebody about a meeting that was coming up, and this person doesn't have any kind of read-write system. And even if about it, she says, well, you have to call me again, and I won't answer, and you can put it on my phone recording. That's awkward.
You have to do that a lot.
That's better than nothing, though.
Yeah, and then they tell you that, and their voicemail is full.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it.
That's right.
I have a suggestion. Linda said you said your daughter's a firefighter. Uh-huh. I think it would be great if she'd be willing to do a presentation for us from the point of view of firefighters. What can we do? How can we, you know, help ourselves? How can we get more help from the fire department and other city departments? You know, she might be.
And where is your daughter a firefighter? What city?
She's in Marietta. She's a forest with a Department of Forestry.
Okay, in Georgia, Marietta.
Maybe she might. She might know
Marietta, Marietta, California.
California. Oh, California. Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So we're
not Marietta.
Marietta.
Yeah.
I've been in two house fires, unfortunately.
Right.
Where my house was pretty much destroyed. One was a
malfunctioning air conditioning. One once it was a child with math. And
one was what?
A child playing with matches.
Oh, wow.
Malfunctioning air conditioner.
Hey, Debbie.
Done. So he didn't know the danger necessarily.
Well,
But what happened is, what I tell you, we had a plan, and we had a plan of what would happen if, you know, bad things happen. I was a single parent, and I said, you know, if someone's hurting mommy or if the house is burning down, you know, just trying to think and having a plan ahead of time. So none of us want to think we're vulnerable, but we are. And what makes you less vulnerable, just like anything else, being blind, is planning, organization.
That's right.
Understanding before the emergency what you will need to do. And I, that's the best advice that I can give in a short period of time.
Yeah, that's great. So, and one other thing, two of my friends have lost their homes because they had their dryer going when they weren't home. Never ever run your dryer when you're not.
Yikes.
Seriously.
So I have an idea. I have one idea. So one of the calls that we commit to support for the, is it just once a month for the support call with the what do you call it? The one that you do, Anneli?
Oh, with Well Connected.
Oh, it's every Friday.
Okay. Oh, no, I think one of those could be, if we are able to do it, one of them can be teaching some of those life skills. And I'd be happy to do the one on self-reliance, discussion on self-reliance. And so that's just a thought.
Anything like that would be great for a community call.
Community call.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing that out there.
Could I bring up one other item?
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about as we're talking. I have been concerned for a while that the local senior centers available to everybody.
Right,
that are funded
are not accessible
by the Area Agency on Aging, and that have classes and that have programs. They do not know enough about blind people. The same with the adult daycare programs. And I was wondering if you know, we could put some work into maybe developing a presentation or making it a point to see if we cannot you know, talk to the staff I don't know what the best vehicle would be. I don't know, because they might perceive it as patronizing or that they're not expressing. But I mean, I think it's an issue because for senior centers, blind people is not the usual population they deal with. And I'd sure like any blind person to be able to walk into their local senior center and, like everybody else, get to be able to take any class they want.
Right. I've been concerned and scared to do that because I don't think I'm going to be served.
Mm-hmm.
Well, under ADA, you're supposed to be.
Well, regardless.
That doesn't mean a thing.
No, yeah. I know. Unfortunately. I know, but I'm saying.
Connie.
This is Connie.
Yeah.
Yes, Connie.
I would like to respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So today we had a guest speaker from a community center called Community of Caring, and they have lifelong learning and wellness classes for seniors. And they have been collaborating with Sacramento Society for the Blind and the Capital Chapter to have more things available for those of us who are blind and visually impaired. For example, they have a senior escort program, and they have, they have volunteers who walk with us in our neighborhood. They have games. They're setting up games for, and it's not just for blind and visually impaired people. It's for all seniors together. I recently did some advocacy where I wanted to participate in this dance exercise class. So I contacted the manager of the lifelong learning and wellness class. She connected me with the instructor. We talked on the phone, then we met on Zoom because I have a free Zoom account, and that way I could turn on my video and he could watch what I was doing and teach me a few of the routines and make sure that I was doing them correctly. And I started going to the class for the first time last week. And it was really fun. I couldn't follow him completely, but, you know, I just kept moving and I really felt like I got a good workout. And I went again this week. And it, even by the second, just by the second time, it's starting to feel more comfortable. And they're so welcoming. I walk in, there's volunteers. He's here. Where would you like to go? My name is so-and-so and let me help you get to this room. And so I just want to say it's possible because I've done it.
Good.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
I think often the willingness is there, but maybe not so much the knowledge on how they can be most helpful. And I think that's a great example, and I think we could build on that. I'm also thinking about daycare programs.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you for just a moment?
Nikki, hold on. I have to leave.
I'm supposed to be for someone in your program right now, so I gotta go.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry. Bye.
Right. Okay, go ahead, Maureen.
Okay. I was just talking about daycare programs because people who have memory issues, they're really not in a position always to advocate for themselves and what they need. And I think there it would be really, really helpful if the staff had a little bit of, you know, and they might be open to a presentation. Like here in Alameda County, there's a daycare network. I've only been retired for a year, and I already forgot the name of it. Okay.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
But it's, they would be really, I think, good to contact, and they probably would be open to something like that.
Yes.
And I could just add that senior centers in Berkeley and Oakland are very famous for not including blind people. And I think that what you have in Sacramento is wonderful, Connie, and I salute you guys. But we do not have agencies that are working with senior centers, and we need to really do that. But I also think it's our responsibility to go to those senior centers and to try to get to become integrated as much as possible.
That's right.
It's hard, but
Nate?
Hold on. I think Dirk wanted to say something.
You did.
Dirk?
The North Berkeley Senior Center, there's a whole program of visually impaired people that meet frequently. That's one. Another part is 911 is for life and death, but I think 988 or some other number is for help of falling down. I can't get
suicide.
No. Yeah.
988 is a suicide
line. That's also for nonviolent contact.
Anyway, there's some other number that is not life.
There's already, there's also 211 and 311. I'm not quite sure of.
Look at that. Look at that. We should have a list, just a list like that, short, 911, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we also, that's something that we should do right here on our own affiliate. Mm-hmm. But I was going to just say one quick thing, and that is the first step before you do anything anywhere is to give the uneducated a list of etiquette. And some guidelines.
Yep.
That's your very, very first step. And then after that, they have something to think about, look at, once, say, somebody does come and present. So that's my only, it's not anything in particular. It's just in general, I wanted to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I live two blocks from the North Berkeley Senior Center, and I am going to be going there now that they're open to start talking to staff. Because they have been very difficult. They used to have a very active low vision group when there was a past director who had hearing impairment, and she was very concerned with visually impaired and hearing impaired people.
Right.
The current director is not as much, but is willing. So, you know, you have to start somewhere. And I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Frank, this is Libby. I have a question.
Libby. Yes, Libby.
What about next door?
Next Door.
What? Yeah, Next Door. Yeah, Next Door is a social networking app.
Oh, I know, because I used to have it.
But let him tell you what it is. He was trying to tell us what that was because I didn't know that name.
Well, I know what it is. I know what it is. Yeah. But does everybody else not know what it is?
Well, that's what Frank was. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
Nextdoor is a social networking app, and it's specifically organized around neighborhoods or local communities where people share information in the local community. With, you know, and that's something to look into.
Because I was on it for about a year. And I got burned out on it because most of the time it talked about there was a robbery here, and that kind of stuff. And I just thought, well, this is scary. So I opted out.
That's what that app is for. It's kind of a neighborhood watch thing.
Right.
Well, it's meant to be more than that, but I have seen where it seems like the people who speak up the most are kind of grumpy people who are complaining about crime. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And then we think, oh, we didn't want to go out into that.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it might be something that could, you know, in the right circumstance, could be a possible, you know.
You know, I live
what about
building an apartment, you know, an elevator building.
Yeah.
And I have trouble getting anybody to say anything to me, so. I've been trying with neighbors that I run into saying, you know, hi, Renee, how are you? Would you mind next time you see me just saying, hi, Roger, it's Renee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She does that now.
That's good.
I think that's a start sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's kind of a fine line, though. Sometimes you want to organize your neighbors and get to know them, and then not that you'll get taken advantage of, but I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, sometimes they just are so nosy that they...
Yeah. And then you feel like they're invading your space.
Yeah, exactly.
This week, I had an experience. There was a fire in my building, and the first thing that happened was the manager called me and said, Patty, are you home? And I said, well, yes, I am. And he said, oh, then it's not you. And then just as soon as she'd said that, I heard all these sirens coming up and these men's voices and everything, and I thought, well, what the heck's going on? So I came out to my door, and I stood out there, and I thought, maybe somebody will tell me, and do we all have to go out or what? And then I called back, and I said, what is it? And she said, oh, don't worry. They said it was somebody who had a cat, but it's in 12 and they put a pot on the stove and it's contained. But, you know, if you don't really know what's going on, I don't know. Maybe this isn't relevant.
No,
I mean,
it is part of it.
Absolutely.
It is part of it. Yeah.
But she didn't bother to tell me, you know, to tell me what really had happened until I asked. But anyway.
I was on a bus like that. The bus caught fire and all the people were getting off the bus. And like,
oh, no.
Where are all the people going? Oh, ma'am, there's a fire on the bus in the back. I was like, oh, okay. I think I better go.
Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for telling me.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So what I really wanted to push is that we need to be, when we do presentations, we need to make them positive. We need to not talk so much about our war stories, even though we have them.
But to
really work on presenting in a positive, uplifting, light, because we all, you know, can talk about what we can't do, what we don't want to do, but how do we give ourselves permission to do? And if we can't or won't or don't want to get help figuring out what's our best avenue to do whatever it is that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, now that you mentioned presentations, Christy, one of the things I'd like to see is someone do a presentation on how to give a presentation, because sometimes, you know, the person doesn't know their subject, or they don't know their audience, who they're speaking to. And so it would be nice to have a presentation on how to give a presentation.
That would be a great community call.
I'll put a plug in that, by the way, is that the Lighthouse for the Blind is starting a Toastmasters group.
Oh, nice.
And I think they're doing it on Zoom, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
So if I can get the information, I'll post it on the list, and people who are interested in that can, because I've been in Toastmasters before, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I learn a lot. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good group.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Dirk, with another thing. The
yes,
police
Dirk.
Department, if you have more than 30 cops on the force, will have a cop with the title Community Relations Officer. Same thing for the fire department. So invite those people to speak to your club or crowd.
Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, is Phil Kuttner still on the line?
Absolutely.
Hey, Phil.
I wanted to say something.
Good to hear from you.
The first thing
I wanted to say. Oh, I didn't know you were there. This is Roger.
Frank,
yes.
I noticed that the people that have their hands up for some reason are not being called on. Other people before, whether hands up means anything. So my suggestion is either we use it or we don't, but if we do, then they would have priority. When it's my turn, you have somebody ahead of me, I'd like to share something that is apropos for me personally, that may be apropos for other people.
Go for it.
Okay. Number one, for the first time, I've started to use a walker. I have been avoiding it, but it's come to the point where I have to. And what has done is created problems for me. And I want to tell you how I've handled it. Our block is not unique, but it's already been mentioned about Neighborhood Watch. We have a neighborhood group with no dues that meets only once a year, and that's for a picnic in my neighbor's house. Why do I say that? Because our block captain, we have about 50 houses in the group, has seen to it that one of the problems I have is when the street is wet, just to go out to get the mail, just to take the garbage cans out, is something that with a walker makes it difficult, especially trying to push a walker and a garbage can at the same time. Not very possible.
Mm-mm.
So what has happened is that somebody, and I never know who it is, I put the garbage can right at the edge of the garage. In other words, I'm in the garage, I move it over to the door, I leave it outside, and then somebody puts it out in the street and somebody puts it back in. The same thing with the newspaper. When it's wet, he throws it up on the front porch. So what I'm saying is to rely on neighbors. What I'm saying is that what we need to do is not be shy in asking for help. Most people, Frank, you are the same way. You'd rather do it yourself, even though it may be harder, rather than asking somebody for help. When you were young and you were spry, you did things for other people. It's like putting money in a bank and cashing out. So my biggest advice, don't be shy about reaching out. And that's my message.
Thank you, Phil.
And that's from a man who's has 90 how many years? A lot of years.
Well, you know, I think that is a great note to end on, folks.
This is a great discussion, Frank.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And wow, I mean, it's been a wonderful meeting. And we are the final meeting of the CCB convention for 2023. And we've gone out with a bang.
Oh, how sad.
Hey.
We went out.
And Larry has been there to keep us in line all afternoon here.
That's right. So Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Hey. And everybody, we will have our May board meeting is going to be on May 20th at 4 p.m., if I'm remembering correctly. May 20th, 4 p.m. is our board meeting. All are welcome. So thanks again. Happy spring. I hope everybody
stays
healthy.
This is great.
All right.